This past week, it was fun doing the skit, having the skit done, planning the skit, having our rocket fly to Mars. A lot is known about Mars. We've studied Mars as a country for a long time. So I'm not going to talk about Mars tonight. What's interesting to me is the information coming in on Pluto. And so tonight I'd like to share some of that information with you and share a quick devotional here. But before we get started, I'm just going to have a word of prayer before we get into our devotional, and we'll get on with the evening here. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for just blessing all last week, Lord, blessing the time, blessing the weather, blessing the children, the adults alike, the teachers. Thank you for their hard work, Lord. Just ask that you would bless this time in your word. Help us to reflect on it and learn from it and learn from what you have done, the works that you have done, Lord, for they praise you. In your son's name I do pray. Amen. Pluto has recently been photographed in a way never done before. I don't know if any of you have been paying attention to the information and data that's been coming in. But about 9 years ago, a spacecraft probe called New Horizons was launched by NASA to explore and document this dwarf planet of Pluto, among other things. But in July this month, the first images began trickling in as New Horizons performed its flyby of Pluto. The images taken by New Horizons have revealed that Pluto is very interesting. It has icy mountain ranges, icy plains, and very few craters, and in some places, no craters at all. It's a very interesting planet. I've seen the images that have been taken of Pluto in the past years. Let me tell you, if you haven't seen the images now, they blow away anything that we've seen previously. All the previous data was blurry or just a fuzzy dot. So I'll be showing you some of those. I don't know about you, but seeing those images reminded me about three things. One, the God of the universe. Two, the creator of the universe. And three, the savior of the universe. First, the God of the universe. There's Pluto. I believe that's a little bit colorized image, but that is an actual image. It's not an artist's rendering. If anyone of you have seen them before or seen them yet, but it's very interesting. I just want to mention, all week we encountered the God of the universe. Our theme verse for the week was Psalm 145, verse 3. I added verse 4, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but I'm going to read it. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. This is the part I added. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. And that's exactly what we did all last week. We have the older generation, the teachers and the workers and the pastors, declaring God's works and his greatness to the younger generation. That's what Vacation Bible School is all about, giving them a chance to encounter the God of the universe. To get an idea of the size of Pluto, that's the size of Pluto. You can see Pluto right there. Earth, you can see North America. It's smaller than half of North America. And then this little blob down here is not our moon. That's Pluto's moon. Pluto's moon, Charon, I believe it's pronounced, is roughly half the size of Pluto. That's very interesting that it would be so large. Usually we think of moons as being much smaller. If one wishes to encounter the God of the universe, all one has to do is go to the first verse in the first chapter in the first book of the Bible. So we're going to do that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It says very clearly, in the beginning, God. Right from the very first words in the Bible, we are confronted with this God of the universe. This verse may be the most important and most powerful passage in all of Scripture. It's in the beginning of the Bible, and it says, "In the beginning, God," right there. We're all familiar with it, and maybe some aren't, but it's no wonder that these first four words of the first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible have been attacked more than any other. Oh, in the beginning is okay. Most people are all right with that part. But it's the next word, God, that people have been trying to replace, well, since the beginning. They've attempted to replace God with theories, with things, and even with other gods. They've tried to replace God with the Big Bang Theory, with aliens, that aliens planted us here on Earth and we grew up from aliens, and many other theories. They've tried to replace God with the things of this world, because it is the things of the world that they worship. Things are their God. They have tried to replace God with other gods, which are not God. Some others are Allah, Buddha, even false Christ people have tried to set up as God. Some even try to replace God with the devil himself. It's by no mistake that this first verse in the Bible, because it is here we find who the source of everything around us is. It's God. There's Pluto again. Jeremiah 10:16, it says, "The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name." Here we're introduced to who this creator is. You see the word former right there. The word former in the original Hebrew means to mold or squeeze something together to form a shape. It's like a potter's clay. You take a clump of clay and you spin it and you shape it. The Lord of hosts is the potter of the universe, according to God's word. He is the former of all things. You see, God of the Bible is not a theory. I don't have to prove that God exists because the proof is all around us. It's literally everywhere we look. The proof is even in your mirror every morning when you get up. The proof is in nature, in the earth, in space, and in the womb. Consider the hand of an unborn baby. The proof is in the intricacies of its design, in the form, order, and function of it. This is no mistake or happenstance. I know a little bit about design. I'm a manufacturing engineer. I went to school for mechanical design. And I can tell you, I sometimes worry about my designs. And I worry and spend many hours working on them, making sure that they're right. Because the last thing I want is one of my designs to go out on the shop floor and it doesn't work. And guess what happens to it then? They shove it aside and it collects dust. I know a thing about design. The hand of an unborn baby is very intricate. Consider the organization we see in space. And now we can see these things and witness these things in a much greater detail than any other time in history. This slide, when I looked up and redid the research on Pluto, this is not a slide of Pluto. But this is a slide, a picture taken on the way to Pluto. And it just struck me. This is Jupiter. These are the clouds of Jupiter. And this is one of Jupiter's moons. Do you see disorganization there? I look at that as an engineer and see outstanding detail and organization that's put there by purpose. It's just striking how the moon is almost perfectly half lit. The curve of Jupiter is perfect. It's beautiful. New Horizons was the name of the space probe. Took this image of the icy moon Europa rising above Jupiter's cloudy tops after the spacecraft's closest approach to Jupiter. The spacecraft was 1.4 million miles from Jupiter and 1.8 million miles from Europa when the picture was taken. The first verse of the Bible goes on to say, in the beginning God, and it tells us what he did. That created the heaven and the earth. So first we're confronted with the God of the universe, and next we are confronted with the creator of the universe. In this portion of the first verse of the Bible, we see what God did. God created heaven and earth. It's a very simple statement, isn't it? But it means so incredibly much. Everything around us and we ourselves have been created by God. From the vast universe to your eyeball, everything has been created by him. It's very important to understand another thing. That the declaration that God created all things, it's not a declaration made of men or by men, but it came from God himself. God himself said it. Isaiah 44:23 says, "Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel." Another interesting thing. Pluto has mountains. There they are. The images that have been coming in. Pluto has mountain ranges. New close-up images of a region near Pluto's equator reveal a giant surprise. A range of mountains rising as high as 11,000 feet above the surface. It's not the biggest mountains that we have in America, but it's about a few thousand feet short of Pikes Peak in Colorado, but still not little molehills by any means. This is another view of a different mountain range. What's interesting about this one is you can start to see some craters here. Then you have a mountain range. And then you have something interesting over here. There's no craters. This image was acquired by New Horizons Long Range Reconnaissance Imager on July 14, 2015, from a distance of 48,000 miles, and sent back to Earth on July 20th, not too long ago. Features as small as a half mile across are visible. Look at the detail in there and how dark that is here. You can see craters. There's one very large crater. Some others over here. And then a mountain range of something, of some kind. Isaiah 44:24. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by himself." There are so many examples of this. Even Pluto was created by God. And not just Pluto and Pluto's mountains, but Pluto's orbit cycle. Very interesting. Pluto has a far more eccentric, stretched out orbit than any of the eight classic planets of the solar system. Pluto's orbit is also unusual in being very highly inclined compared to the other ones. The other ones are more flat and even. Pluto goes up at an angle. It's about 17 degrees. And it completes, it's also a fast planet. It completes three orbits for every two of Neptune's. So he's moving a lot faster than Neptune is. Very interesting. Another verse I'd like to share with you. Revelation 4:11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." My wife and I were discussing this interesting orbit the other day. Pluto's orbit shows the handiwork, organized creation work of God. Pluto's movement in space is also so predictable that we are able to record its movement, calculate its cycle, and launch a space probe, and 9 years later, it meets up with Pluto. That's amazing. It would never be possible without an organized creation. I can't keep the clock in my car accurate for 9 days, let alone 9 years, I think after about 9 years, my clock would, I'd lose about a couple months. Pluto is not randomly zigzagging around the universe in its orbit. It's on a predictable, repeating, organized orbit. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. The word worlds here in Hebrews verse 2 doesn't mean planets. It means ages, periods of time. All of time and the periods that go along with them. God created the ages, times, seasons, phases, cycles, orbits, and his creation cannot hide the fact. And this God did by his Son, Jesus Christ. I mentioned earlier the interesting formations on the right side of the mountain plains earlier. There's something very interesting about this photo. What's missing? No craters. Well, if this planet is so old, why is there no craters there? You know, the scientists are trying to figure this out right now. They're bamboozled by this. They don't understand why there are no craters there. There might be a few explanations. They have a couple working theories. But here's a quote from one of the geologists. This terrain is not easy to explain, they say. Said Jeff Moore, leader of the New Horizons Geology, Geophysics, and Imaging team in Moffett Field, California. The discovery of vast, craterless, very young plains on Pluto exceeds all pre-flyby expectations. They weren't expecting that. You know what? The Lord does so much for me that I don't expect. He works and he created this. We don't know exactly why there are no craters there, but the Lord does. It's very interesting. This leads me to my last point. The Savior of the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That was chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. A little bit further down in verse 10, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who's the scripture talking about here? Who would be full of grace and truth? If you keep reading, the answer is found in verse 17 of the same passage. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:15 through 17. This is speaking about Jesus Christ. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whereby or whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It is by God's Son, Jesus Christ, that all things were created and to this day are held together. This same Creator, Jesus Christ, came to earth, the earth that he created, to pay a penalty that he did not owe. You see, God's creation has a problem. While man was created in perfection and innocency, man chose, just as he does today, to disobey God and sin against him. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I titled this message, Reconciliation with the God of the Universe. The reason is that because of your sin, you need to be reconciled with God. Colossians 1, 19 through 20, also speaking about Jesus Christ, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." If you're separated from God today, reconciliation is available to you. But please understand something. The Bible is very clear on this. Reconciliation or salvation must be on God's terms. I've spoken to a lot of people since I've been a believer, trying to share Christ with them. And there's a common theme that I see often. People will agree that they need salvation, that they need help. They need God's help. They need reconciliation. What's interesting to me is often they're trying to do it on their own terms, not on God's terms. And so it's very important that we understand what these terms are. A couple places God's terms are spelled out for us. One's found in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 9. We know it well if you've been here any amount of time. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 6, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." John 14, 5, "Doubting Thomas, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way?" This is a question we can ask God. "God, how can I know what your terms are for reconciliation?" Jesus Christ, the God, the Creator and Savior, answered John 14, 6. "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you take one thing home tonight, if you're lost and you don't know the Lord is your Savior, you know you need to be reconciled with him. Understand this. It has to be done on his terms. There are so many false teachings about what those terms are. Many people will tell you that you need to get reconciled with the Lord. Many religions will tell you that. You have to do all these things to get right with the Lord. But they're not his terms. When you read the Bible, you find out what those terms are. Those terms are through his Son, and it's salvation by his blood and his blood alone. Please understand that. You can't get there by your plan. You have to get there by God's plan. In a moment, Pastor Brown will be coming up to give an invitation. But if you've been trying to get to God on your terms, please accept God's terms. For his way is the only way. Pastor.